Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. More Yankee goodness, more Met complaining this morning. And LeBron James goes down in embarrassing fashion in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals to the Boston Celtics. But a ton of baseball this morning. The Yankees look like they're going to have a really tough weekend after Friday in the way that Saturday's game started. But they're the Yankees, and they made it right. And the Mets, of course, you think on Friday are going to have a nice weekend, then get rained out, get all the momentum sucked out of them, and then just a bizarrely weird performance yesterday by them, all starting with Jacob deGrom in his marathon first inning, or it was his whole outing. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay, Gio, but I'm not happy about where the Mets are. I don't really want to start with the negative right now because the Mets are dropping like a hot rock. And their starter comes back and he throws 45 pitches in the first inning. They decide to take him out, which is smart. That's what they should have done. And now they're going to skip Vargas's next start.
Thank God.
I mean, it's one thing after the next with this team. And they are now four games out of first place. And they are dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. Thinking about a month ago where we were and where the Nats were. And now all of a sudden the Nats have completely turned it around. And it's going to be interesting to watch the Nationals at home for two games against the Yankees starting tomorrow night. And tomorrow night they got, you know, Gio Gonzalez. That means, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's going to go off because he's a left-handed pitcher, and Giancarlo Stanton just murders left-handed pitchers.
And what a game from him yesterday,
man. Just absolutely murders left-handed pitchers. This is, you know, when I go back to Joe Girardi about a week ago on MLB Network saying, oh, he's going to come out of it. He's going to come out of it. Why? Because they're facing a left-handed pitcher. For whatever reason, he is just raking those guys. And yesterday was his game on Mother's Day and everything else. So good for him and good for the Yankees. And now they go on the road for two games against the Nationals. It'll be interesting because they got Gonzalez, like I said, and then it's Scherzer. And Scherzer's a very tough right-hander, as we all know. He's having a great season coming off of his last outing was awesome. So this will tell us a lot about the New York Yankees and where they are. I would expect that, you know, you'd be happy with a split down there, but I would also expect that if you're a Yankee fan right now, you want greed. You're greedy.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are.
You want to sweep everybody. You want to just take care of business. And it's unfortunate because they would have swept the A's had Sonny Gray actually had anything. And Sonny Gray had nothing. So he had two good starts and a bad start. And I was listening to Sunday Mornings with John yesterday.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It was good. I think that they've really actually improved the program.
So they fixed that delay problem?
Whatever the delay was, or John's paying more attention or whatever. And, you know, I think Yankee fans are a little bit annoyed with Sonny Gray. They keep talking about Sonny Gray. And what do they keep talking about? Since we started the season, we've been talking about this. They're going to have to add a starting pitcher at some point. I don't know if Domingo Germán is the answer. We have to wait and see what happens when Montgomery comes back. But it seems like Sonny Gray is going to be two good outings, a bad outing. You know, maybe another couple good outings, and then would you really truly trust him in a big spot late in September?
Oh, not October? Right now. Not right now. And I share something in common with the Yankee fan. I could have 10 things going right and then one thing go wrong, and I'll sit there and focus on that. And that's exactly what they're doing. But Sonny Gray's been that bad. And I think the tease of two back-to-back good starts, thinking, all right, he did break out of it, and now he's going to be okay. And then to see that performance on Friday night is even more frustrating. So, sure, they've got a reason to be upset about it, because this isn't like, you know, Chasen Shreve in the bullpen or Ronald Torres, who you see occasionally. This is a guy that needs to be good for the Yankees, because right now he's scheduled to make big starts for them late in the season and then in the postseason, and he's not good enough to do so. He's not good enough to trust right now. So I guess you'll look at the three starts and say, all right, if you want to look at that, it's a two out of the last three have been good. But if you have another bad one coming up, then at that point you just got to say, you know, I don't know. You're going to have to start thinking about other things to do with him, because most of his 2018 has been bad.
Well, I would say two out of the last three have been good. So anytime he has a bad outing, everybody's going to focus on it. And I felt like that was kind of sort of the focus of where most Yankee fans who were calling this radio station over the weekend, that's where they were all looking at. They weren't looking at Didi Gregorius and his prolonged slump right now. They weren't looking at Giancarlo Stanton struggling against right-handers. They were all focused in and zeroed in on Sonny Gray. And then obviously without a couple guys in a bullpen that you normally would see right now, Warren and Canely, you know this is where the Yankee fan finds problems. But let me just say something to the Yankee fan. You don't know problems. You have no idea what problems are.
Yeah.
We as Met fans now understand what problems are. We're bringing in our closer, you know, when we're down and run in the eighth inning. That's problems. That's not great managing. We take our starting number one stud pitcher out of a game after 46 or 45 pitches. Why? Because, you know, he hurt his elbow swinging a bat 10 days ago or 12 days ago. We have a lineup that is basically Punch and Judy hitters all over the place, maybe with the exception of Cespedes. But guys like Lagares and Conforto and Rosario and even the new catcher, you know, he had one home run on Friday night. Great. That's or Saturday night. It's great. But now all of a sudden is you know, batting 187.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's just, I'm watching this whole thing just kind of like fall apart. Like there's no energy. And even after they won and they beat Arrieta and everything else, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, we got the winning feeling back. Everything's going to be great. And they just morph right back into doing what they normally do. And it's really, it's frustrating. It's sad. And it's almost like debilitating watching them.
Oh, yeah, and I really think that after Friday night and the fact that it was Conforto, and then you got a home run back-to-back pitches, consecutive pitches, then with Mesoraco, I'm thinking, all right, this is a good thing. This is a catalyst. And I don't know if they would have won on Saturday or not. I have no idea. And Syndergaard, of course, now isn't going to pitch until Tuesday because they got him warmed up and there was a rainout. But I thought the fact that they didn't play on Saturday took sort of the momentum that they could have built off of that Friday night comeback victory right out of them. Now, as far as the problems that you mentioned, I don't care if Jerry's Familia came in yesterday because they've got an off day today. They got an off day Thursday. Hadn't pitched. Fine. You get him some work. That's not a big deal to me. I also am not going to scream and yell as much about the Sewald Blevins blunder that everybody's calling it because, you know, quite frankly, I mean, you don't have Aroldis Chapman from the left-handed side coming out of that bullpen. It's Jerry Blevins. Now, Blevins, against Nick Williams, he faced him three times, struck him out twice. Nick Williams is 0-for-3 against him.
The analytics are on his side.
Yeah, but also this year, Sewald is better against lefties than Blevins has been. All right, so it's really, you know, I don't want to go nuts about that. I'll go nuts about the fact that they have first and second, nobody out, seemingly every inning. They're 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position.
Mesoraco hitting two double plays.
I mean, God. And then also,
killers.
And how about the fact, too, this is another one in that sixth inning, the Cespedes home run. Then you get first and second, nobody out. Conforto's up. Conforto's got a 2-0 count. He ends up striking out looking in that at bat. I mean, it's stuff like that, and the rest of and then you had the Mesoraco double play after that.
They are now four games out of first place. Four games. Think about what has happened here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It's been
and then
pathetic.
I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that, you know, Matt Harvey did great things on Friday.
No.
You pitch four innings. I know that they, you know, they gotta stretch him out now, re-stretch him out again and all that other stuff. It was four scoreless innings. I think he had six walks in those four innings.
Well, also, too, he really didn't necessarily give up a hit because that one hit was a miscommunication. They, like, lost the ball and then it dropped. But if you watched him, he looked exactly the same. Just that the Dodgers were missing it this time. I'm telling you, he looked exactly the same. That stuff that Mickey Callaway was talking about laying the ball in the catcher's mitt and leaving the balls all over the plate. I mean, that to me was another hard. He just got lucky this time. So we'll see. But forget about him.
All right, let me ask you this question. I can't forget about him for one reason. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with the Reds. It's like the worst team in baseball, but they're playing better than the Mets right now because they beat the Dodgers, I think, 2 out of 3 this week, if I'm correct. If he continues to, you know, do well and he kind of rehabs himself, who knows? Maybe, you know, come July, he's a trade chip for the Reds.
Well, now what? When you going back to him going to the Yankees?
I can't see it, but I was just thinking.
No.
He's a big game pitcher.
I suppose it's a possibility, but he's, as you mentioned, he's got to get totally right with zero distractions. And even then, I think that the Yankees are going to aim a little bit higher than that to be able to bolster that rotation.
So now you see that Clint Frazier's ready to come back.
Right, and Brandon Drury is going to be eligible too.
Dude, they're all coming back.
And
now,
Greg Bird's not that far behind.
You literally have three position players that are going to be ready to come back here. Frazier's ready to come back right now, although they're saying that he still needs another week or so, but he's tearing the cover off the baseball. And there's nowhere to put any of these guys.
Yeah.
There's nowhere. So that leads you to believe that if there are trade chips, the question is, who would want somebody of this Yankee extended roster, and what pitcher can they bring back for one of their young players?
Yeah, well, I think that'll become more clear as the season goes on. It's interesting, a couple of candidates to either move on from or sit on the bench or think about not being a part of this team, and Gardner and Walker, older guys, both of them break out of it right when these guys are starting to get back. So now you have to look at everybody who's got options. I think Drury's got to stay down for now. I mean, I think that's what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to come back and then end up staying down in the minors because you cannot bring Drury up and send Andujar down. I don't think that's a possibility at all. And with Clint Frazier, you got Aaron Hicks, you got Brett Gardner out there. I mean, Gardner's been very good. It's depth. It's an embarrassment of riches. But I think guys with options are going to have to be frustrated right now and sit down there and wait for that opportunity to arise because right now it's not happening for them. So,
all right. And one other thing, you know, you want to know why Danny Ainge is the smartest man in basketball?
Because he doesn't he's great at drafting and he doesn't trade guys before he watches them develop.
Or whatever. I mean, like, which is what you would want with Frank Ntilikina, but you got to leave French Frank alone. So the reason being is because he knows what division he plays in. He also obviously knows what conference he plays in. He also knows who he has to get through in order to go get the championship. Now, he's lost two of his best players in Hayward and Irving. There's no question about that. But he also has had some great trades. He's made some great free agent signings, and he's also made some great draft picks. And when you listen to the Celtics kids talk and you listen to how they listen to their coach and everything else, it's like the total opposite of what an NBA team would normally be or what you would think an NBA team would be. They go out and they get this kid, Marcus Morris, right? Marcus Morris is 6'9",
mm-hmm.
and there's a reason why they got a 6'9" Marcus Morris. And why is that? To go against a 6'10" LeBron James when you need a bigger player, a player that has longer arms, a player that is going to be relentless on the defensive end of the court, that's exactly the type of player you go and get.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's like I don't know what everybody else is thinking, but I do know by watching the Celtics yesterday what exactly Danny Ainge was thinking about.
Sure, but and also looking at these highlights on CBS Sports Network, did you notice that Jason Tatum was on LeBron James? Marcus Smart steals a ball from LeBron
but
James.
You know why that was?
Aaron Baines is in his face. Marcus Morris is in his face. Al Horford's in his face. Brad Stevens was throwing everybody at LeBron.
Well, it's kind of funny you say that because right before the series started, I think it was on Friday, they were talking to him about, you know, playing the Cavaliers and what LeBron James is doing and everything. And he just matter-of-factly said, look, you don't play defense with against LeBron James with one player. You play defense against LeBron James with multiple players. And he kind of told you what his game plan was going to be.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they executed yesterday. Now, the shooting for the Cavaliers was horrendous. We know that. And they're not going to shoot this bad the rest of the way. I mean, they just had a really, really off day. And there was a lot of energy in that building yesterday with the Celtics. And the Celtics really, you know, lived up to it. There were a couple wide open shots that they missed. That will not take place in Cleveland. But I'll tell you what, it is impressive watching what Boston, even if they don't win this the series, which you would like to think that they will. You have to be impressed with the way that this whole thing has gone down with the Celtics.
And the fact that Danny Ainge was able to identify both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as guys that were untouchable. Both of those guys. He needed to get Jason Tatum in the draft, and he was able to convince the 76ers that he might take Markelle Fultz and was able to make that deal, and they still take Tatum, and he said we were taking Tatum the entire time. And also, Jaylen Brown, you know, his rookie season, early on in his career, showed flashes, but was not this player. That's for sure, but people knew he had a lot of talent. So when there was those trade, you know, whether it was the Kyrie trade or Paul George or stuff that was out there, people would ask about Jaylen Brown, and he'd say, no, totally untouchable. And now you're seeing it.
I don't know how far they'll go. I don't know if they'll – I do believe that they'll get through this. I think that they have, you know, kind of like a matchup nightmare in the way that they collectively play defense. You know, these games, I think it's going to go I think it will go to seven, and game seven will be in Boston, and it will be like a nut house, right?
Oh, sure.
But I don't know if they'll be able to beat either Golden State or Houston. I don't know that. And that starts tonight, by the way. And to me, those two teams are just so like fluid offensively and so spread out on the floor, and just anybody can shoot at a given time. I don't know necessarily that Boston has that.
No. I mean, whoever wins between Golden State and Houston is going to win the NBA title. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about this morning. Yankees, Mets, we got some basketball to talk about. A little hockey last night as the Capitals go up 2-0 on the former New York Ranger, Tampa Bay Lightning.
They're the Fighting Dave Michigans.
Right, the Fighting Dave Michigans not doing too well these days. And, of course, a little football to round out a Monday morning here on The Fan, coming to you live from the Investors Bank Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo.
Mets lose, Yankees win. It's the chorus of the last couple of weeks. Jacob DeGrom starts. He has a 45-pitch first inning and doesn't give up a run, which is like a miracle. I don't really know why he had to leave the game at that point because, I mean, if you went into this thing with a 45-pitch count.
Yeah, but it's an overabundance of caution is really what it is, because they skipped the start and all that other stuff.
I know, but it's ridiculous. But that played into the whole decision with the relievers and leaving Seawald in. Like, what if you're telling me that his pitch count was 45 going into that game or 50?
No, of course
then why
it
even
wasn't.
Start?
Just that he threw 45 pitches, you know, in a very short amount of time, and it was just too much. So, look, they got to save him for the rest of the year when we're 12 games out and we need a win.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It was like, oh, it's a long season. I was like, not really, if you guys keep playing like this. And here's a stat that's very telling. The Mets lead the majors in reliever at-bats. So, if that doesn't tell you something,
a good stat.
No, it is not. For a couple of reasons.
At least even Matt pitched okay the other night.
Right. Sure.
I will say that.
You've got that. All right. Jerry Recco is here. He's got an update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Parks Casino and Racing, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. Exit 6 off the New Jersey Turnpike. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma. Get knowing. We'll start with the good, and that would be the Yankees, who are now 28-12.
Pitt swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone into the Yankees bullpen. Giancarlo Nonci Puo Stoppolo. It is a Stantonian home run in the Yankee bullpen in right center. And the Yankees take a 4-1 lead.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
He rips.
John Sterling, the call on
the essence of man.
Well, that would be Giancarlo Stanton yesterday. He was 4-for-4 on the day. The home run, he drove in 3 runs. All good for a 6-2 Yankee win as the Yanks take the series. Aaron Boone knows Stanton carried him on the day.
Look, he was the difference today.
And this is all expected from Stanton.
Without predicting anything, I know one thing I'll predict in the end. it'll be massive production.
From the big guy, as you can massive certainly expect. Production. Here is that massive production man, Stanton, on Yes. He says, you know what, tonight was just my turn.
It's not one single person each night. It's going to be someone else. And all of us contribute.
Aaron Judge had a couple of hits, including an RBI single. Aaron Hicks drove in two runs. Luis Severino, six innings, seven strikeouts for the win. He's 6-1, 2.14 ERA, despite the fact he didn't love the way he threw the ball. Here was Brett Gardner as the team waited out the rain and got the win.
You got to stay ready. I thought we did a good job of that. I thought Sevy threw the ball pretty well today, and obviously I thought Big G had a great day at the plate, came up with some big hits, and it's a good day for us.
Big G.
Big G.
Yeah, I like that.
The Big G spot.
Is there a little G?
I don't know.
That's not me.
You tell me.
I like
Gardy? Could he be little G?
Little G.
Yeah.
Right?
Big G and little G.
Yeah, little G could be Domingo Germán as well, even though it's could a be silent G. But yeah, I've been called
the Big G, the little G, and the silent G.
Yeah, yeah. I've been called
the
Big G
spot.
I've been called Big G a lot.
Well, you should be called Big G. You showed up Saturday with a posse.
Yeah, I did.
I never say anything like it, Al.
I did.
We show up at Tate's Bake Shop, have a nice little time there, and you know, a lot of nice people showed up. And
yes,
then I realized that my man over here, Big G, had his posse with him.
The G spot.
Well, I came by myself and brought the family, and they're on CBS Sports Network,
the wife
and daughter.
Yes.
And then I told some friends to come down, and then friends asked friends, and it was really nice that they showed up.
And you had a posse.
The posse was there, yes, after a while.
I could not believe that you had your own like group of guys hanging around you. You had muscle, like just in case somebody said something wrong to you, they were going to take care of business.
It did appear that way, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I told those guys, I said, listen, you know. And some of them were my brother's friends, who now I've gotten to know. Not my brother.
Now they're all
my friend's
now
brother.
That you're
I don't
a big
have a
star
brother.
And everything. They're all going to cling on to you.
My friend's
they expect,
brother's
they
friends.
They expect free food at Painter's on a Friday night. You're going to show up and you're going to be the man.
I was like, listen, guys, I'm getting to know you a little bit. You hang around me next time, we got to step up the attire.
Call me G-Spot.
Right? You know, no basketball jerseys and, you know,
yeah,
stuff like
that. Yeah,
they
showed up, you know, high tops, untied with basketball hoop jerseys on and everything. I'm like, hey, man, what is this? What are we doing?
Leave your pocket knives in the car, will you? You know,
this is like G-Spot and a posse. I like it.
The G-Spot.
There was a guy, just quickly, who showed up at this event at Tate's Bake Shop with a tailgate pickup that had a goalpost in the back of it, a mailbox on it, and all sorts of stuff.
Huge Jet fan.
Right, huge Jet fan. So then, at the very end of this, the guy comes up, you know, finally the line is dissipated, you know, Boomer has signed 50 million autographs, and the guy comes up, he goes, hey, Boomer, do you mind climbing in the bed of my tailgate pickup truck to take a picture?
Did you?
No.
I didn't think so.
I did not.
He goes, really? Guys?
It's
like, he's like, want me to get naked too?
Yeah.
I think he's freaking terrific.
It was not something I was going to do. Plus, it was raining and everything.
I know. It
was Yankees
funny.
In Washington tomorrow night.
Speaking of couches, by
night.
The way, I do have a problem. And now you may want to go take a picture of this on my couch.
What's the matter?
Oh, there's schmutz.
I got schmutz on the couch.
From who?
And I'm not sure. So Chernoff swears it's makeup. So I asked Allie this morning, is this makeup on my couch, Allie?
She doesn't do makeup on the couch.
She goes,
though.
No, that's not my makeup.
Spank buildup in the corner.
Right, exactly. Do you think that's Jerry? Do you think that's Jackie's makeup? No, that's not Jackie's makeup. I said, what is that? She goes, I'm not really sure what that is. I think it's a Chernoff booger. Is what I think it is.
gross.
You got to go take a picture of it.
Will it be obvious for me to find it when I go
back?
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Find it.
Really?
And it's very disappointing because it's a brand new couch.
So all winter we took care of that couch. Right. We had sheets on the couch, and now someone decides to flick something on the couch.
I think it's your boy Chernoff because he spends the most time on the couch. It's almost like the couch is a place for him to get whatever's on his chest off his chest.
Yeah, it really takes the class out of the whole office, that stain on that couch.
It does.
Yeah.
Snot-faced.
Really, like you walk in there, it doesn't have the same feel of importance.
I think what Chernoff is doing. I think that's either him, it's either him or Carlin.
Well, when is Carlin ever in your office?
Well, he came in, you know, a couple times, sit down, you know, wants to talk things out and stuff.
Got
like
it.
That. You know how everybody's got issues around here. You know, so for some reason that seems to be like the psychiatrist's couch.
Right, of course. Yep.
Boomer, kiss my ass. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. And by the way, good for Maggie. Right, Maggie.
Oh yes, that's right. On Friday.
What did she do?
Well, they replayed our thing that we did for Moment of the Day when we were joking around just to go through it. So Carlin asked me to promote an interview.
Right,
I promoted
the
interview.
One, right.
He didn't like the way I did it, so we made fun of him, said next time we're going to play all the sound effects when we promote your interview.
Right.
So Maggie replayed that, and then played some clips after that from Family Guy to sort of make fun of us in a way.
That's right. She finally got it.
Right.
So she took control, man. That's what I'm talking about. I liked it. I was actually laughing when I heard it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I had someone send it to me because I wasn't around radio at that time.
Yes. So it was good. She did a great job, and that's what she should be doing.
Right, of course.
Making fun of us.
Right, and Carlin was out golfing in Vegas or something.
Look at him.
He wasn't even around.
God, boy. That's going to get old quick.
It already is old.
Yeah, probably true. Phillies Mets yesterday. They did not play Saturday at the great win. No.
What is this?
I feel great. I feel like
what's the
awesome.
Noise?
What's that? It's my voice. What are you talking about?
It's your nose all stuffed up or what?
No, I'm good. I feel wonderful.
No, your nose has to be stuffed up.
My nose is like not that. Stuffed. I'm Jerry Recco.
I have allergies.
What is that?
Allergies.
Oh, all right, then just say allergies.
I hope.
Okay.
If not, you'll be sick on Wednesday. Can I tell you?
No. Oh,
Phillies Mets yesterday. So Friday night, you get the great win, the Conforto home run, the Mesoraco home run in the ninth inning. They don't play Saturday, and then they played yesterday, and really neither offense was doing anything. You get a Cespedes home run. It's 1-0, and then you've got Nick Williams pinch hitting.
2-1 pitch. Hit high in the air to deep right field. Forget it. This ball is launched off the signage of the second deck. The second pinch hit home run of the year for Nick Williams, a 3-run homer.
Jeez.
And the Phillies take a 3-1 lead.
Howie Rose on WFAN.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Tack on another and wind up beating the Mets 4-2. Williams, the pinch hit home run. Carlos Santana homers in the eighth off of Jerry's Familia. Here's some of the postgame sound. Mickey Callaway defending the notion of keeping Sewald in, not bringing in Jerry Blevins to face a lefty. As he makes note, lefty's 9-41 against Sewald.
If Paul Sewald hadn't been as good as he's been all year, that might have swayed the decision a little bit.
In terms of not going to Blevins, he said, quite frankly, we needed more from Sewald.
You know, sometimes guys got to get outs. You know, when your starter gets knocked out in the first, you know, some guys have to go, you know, multiple innings, and we needed him
to
do that.
No, not knocked out, taken out, in fairness.
I was just about to say that. You took him out after 45 pitches because you're scared. I mean, that's what it had to do with. And I understand the overly cautious thing, but like, let's say he gets through the next couple innings with 8 pitches apiece. Then all of a sudden, he's still in a decent spot. I mean, I don't know why you just take him out. If he felt, and DeGrom said he felt great, to take him out.
He didn't look right, though. He was all over the place. He was. I mean, that's not him.
But he still got out of it. And he came back in the second inning, and the first guy gets on, all right, fine, enough. But I mean, but then you're talking about gets knocked out in the first inning. You made that decision.
You're right. The fact of the matter is they've got a hit. You know, I mean,
I know, and that's the first thing I said this morning. That's the first thing I said.
Men on base is what you got to do. They had they had 11 hits yesterday, so it was just a problem. You know, you hit into two double plays with your new catcher. Those are rally killers. The first one was a line drive.
I mean, he hit the ball right on the screws. The second one, he just waved at the ball and pushed it to the right side. But you're right. These are the two clips that would bother me most from Callaway, and I don't think he's wrong. I think he's being very honest, but talking about how the team needs more power.
I don't think our team's built for, just putting together hit after hit after hit and, you know, going first to third and things like that.
You know what, though? When they were 11-1, they were not reliant on the home run. Right. They were moving runners along. They were getting clutch hits. They're not now, and they're losing. And here was the second part of that.
You know, it is what it is. I think that when the home runs start to come, that's when you're going to see the team we are.
Great. So they're going winning streaks and losing streaks, and they'll be mired as a .500 team all year.
Yeah, that's, and also,
not a great team, man.
Yeah, Frazier and Bruce not in the lineup isn't a good thing for them either.
Doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true. Here was Blevins. He looked a little bit mad not facing Williams in the spot.
I'm always disappointed if I don't get into the game. You know, it's my job. I want to participate. That's pretty much it.
And here was DeGrom being taken out after one inning. He said that was kind of weird.
I was kind of surprised, honestly. I definitely would have liked to go back out there. The reasoning I understand, but who wants to pitch one inning as a starter?
Here was Callaway and the decision to pull him.
That's pretty tough. That's a lot to ask, especially what he was coming off of.
With the 45-pitch inning, as you know. Mets home for the Blue Jays tomorrow night, a quick 2-game series. Again, Nationals now 6 games over .500. They swept away the Diamondbacks 6-4. Mark Reynolds hit 2 home runs. Braves won again. They're 9 games over .500, beat the Marlins 4-3. Red Sox over the Blue Jays 5-3. And the Orioles, who have been a miserable team, have won a couple of games here. They were winning 17-0 yesterday. Wound up beating the Rays 17-1. Also of note, the Brewers beat the Rockies 7-3 in Colorado. Freddie Peralta makes his major league debut for Milwaukee. 5 2/3 innings, he struck out 13.
He flew in his family.
Yes.
And his family thought that they were going to see like a triple-A game. And it turned out that he was called up by the, you know, by the Brewers.
And they were all crying.
And they're all crying and everything. And he went out and had an unbelievable game. Struck out 13. The first, I think the only other guy or the last guy to do that in his first start was who?
You tell us. You did the CBS Sports
Minute. Yeah, I was
minute,
just
sure.
about to say, this has got to be a Sports Minute. I could smell a Sports Minute.
Matt Harvey.
Oh, how about that?
Who, by the way, him and the Reds are undefeated.
I'm yes. Boomer Esiason.
As they swept the Dodgers.
Did you finish with Matt Harvey right before I'm Boomer Esiason?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you did. I could just hear it in my head now. And the last guy to do that, Matt Harvey. Scoot-doot-doot, scoot-doot-doot-doot. Right? I'm Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, there you go.
Tigers beat the Mariners 5-4. Bring it up because Robinson Cano was hit by a pitch, suffered a fractured hand. I did not realize this about him. He's gone 11 straight years with 150 games played or more, which is really impressive. He's going to miss at least, I think I read, at least a month. Basketball, playoffs, Celtics, Cavs, all Boston in game one.
Rozier, bounce pass for Horford in the corner. Jaylen Brown, three in the air.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, Kyle Korver. Woo! Slap me, somebody, and wake me up or pinch me.
Sean Granny, Cedric Maxwell, Jaylen Brown, the three, part of his 23 points. Celtics easy over the Cavs, 108-83. They led 36-18 after the first. They had a 61-35 lead at the half. Never looked back. Marcus Morris, 21-10. LeBron, 15 points, 5 of 16 shooting, 0 for 5 from 3, 7 turnovers. Here he was, just moving on.
We have another opportunity to be better as a ball club. Coming in Tuesday night, and we'll see what happens.
For a game two, game one, Western Finals tonight. Rockets take on the Warriors. Here's Chris Paul. A lot of people praising Golden State. He says he doesn't see it, read it, hear it, nothing.
I don't watch none of this TV. I don't read none of these stories. You know what I mean? So it ain't that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
He's just going to go out and play basketball. Exactly right. NHL playoffs. You had the Eastern Conference Finals, Capitals and Lightning.
Here is Oshie, leaving Strowman in his way. Capitals pick it up with a fallen Lightning in front. They score! A pass on the right side, and Lars Eller going top left corner.
That's John Walton on Capitals radio. They score a couple of times late in the second period.
You know, he was on the ice for that one, right? Ryan Callahan,
the Rangers,
McDonough, and Anton Strowman.
How about that? Just put
by the way, you know,
on.
The way that game started yesterday, there were a couple of really bad turnovers by former Ranger defensemen, and also Dan Girardi getting left in his skate tracks, if you will, as a Washington Capital. I think it was Kunetsov went right around him. It's amazing that Tampa Bay cannot score 5-on-5. They were gifted 2 penalties last night, and they are getting wiped out by the Capitals now, right now.
You know the Lightning fans can't stand me because I went after their radio broadcast and said they only had 7 fans.
Yes.
So do I now, if they lose this series, do I go back at them and troll them again?
No, of course not.
I think you've made your point.
I know. I think I have to. I think I have a little salt on the
wound.
Well,
why? Why do you even worry about
it? Oh, they came at. I don't worry about it. I'm clearly not worried about it.
You deserve to be coming
on your mind.
I mean, I'm just bringing it up because we're talking about it. But
I would just say this. You were over the top in your criticism.
I don't think it was, totally
and
fair.
And then on top of that, you said, all 7 of their fans.
I mean, they're not a big-time sports franchise.
Yeah, and down in Tampa, they are. They are popular. They sell out all the time, and they love their hockey, much like they do in Nashville.
Right. And if it's Tampa and Winnipeg in the Stanley Cup final, it'll be the lowest-rated championship
sporting
series
in pro sports in the history of the world.
Oh, good for them.
Cup with John Tortorella, by the way. Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Right, of course. Well, right. Yeah. All right, so I won't do it for you since you love the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's not that I love the I don't like either one of these teams because they beat my team, but I'm just saying, I mean, you know, they do sell out down there. They do have a vibrant fan base. They are a very well-funded franchise, and they do well. So what's wrong with that?
Okay.
The G spot.
Winnipeg, Vegas tonight.
You and your posse go down there and go. I
will. I'm not afraid. We'll go right down to Ybor City and take on anybody.
Call me G-Spot.
Yeah.
Webb Simpson won the Players' Championship at Sawgrass.
Oh,
how about him? Was he 18 under par? He finished
7-7 going into yesterday's round. 7 up.
You know, really gave up much of the lead. No. You know, played very relaxed. And sadly, former Seahawks head coach Chuck Knox passed away. He was 86 years old.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Giancarlo Stanton yesterday at Yankee Stadium stole Parlo in all over the place. And the Mets go to Philadelphia where they've had a ton of success. The great comeback win on Friday, and then the rest of the weekend was just blah.
But there's something very interesting going on in state of New Jersey that we've been following for a while, and we might finally get an official ruling on this, Boomer.
Well, it's the official ruling coming from the Supreme Court. Now, they're saying that maybe it could come as early as today, or it may come in the next couple of weeks, and that is the ruling in regards to the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, otherwise known as PASPA. And really what that means is, will the Supreme Court rule that it's unconstitutional from keeping states like New Jersey from allowing sports wagering to go on in their
racetracks,
right, in their casinos and everything else? And it is, and everybody feels like there's a wave that is going to make the Supreme Court overturn what's going on right now. And if that's the case, then we're going to have sports teams wanting to get involved with all these bookmakers and everything else, which is really, it's so hypocritical, it's ridiculous. Oh. And we're some 30 years removed from the whole Pete Rose ban and all that other stuff. And look, at the end of the day, Pete was gambling why he had a uniform on. We all know that. We all know why he's banned. But now, 30 years later, we're going to look at this and we're going to see these sports leagues getting involved in some way, shape, or form. And everybody's going to want their piece of what they estimate to be a $10 billion industry. So whether it be the states taking, you know, whatever you want to call it, a convenience fee, a tax, it's a tax. One way or the other, the states are going to be making money off of this. And that's one of the reasons why New Jersey wants this. And number two, I do believe that there's going to be sponsorships. There's going to be sponsorships with all these individual teams. I'm sure these leagues are going to have to put forth some sort of, I would imagine, rule book associating the teams or the leagues individually with these bookmakers, whoever they may be. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen here in the next 10 or so days regarding the Supreme Court and this action.
Yeah, and I don't think this is going to change all that much. I know what you're saying about teams wanting to get involved, but it's not like we don't have legalized sports gambling happening in this country.
But you're
going
to see,
right,
like at Jet Giant games, you go to MetLife Stadium, you're going to see, you know, come to, you know, the Borgata and come to the Borgata sports book or go
right.
Here,
well, finally, this will force the NFL to stop lying to themselves, because that's what they do when it comes to gambling. They pretend like it doesn't exist. The same thing.
But
when,
yet they'll still support DraftKings.
Right, exactly. Which is basically the same thing. There's no doubt.
You know,
about
when
it.
I started here 10 years ago with Craig, I was so anti all of this.
Yeah, the gambling on sports.
The gambling on sports, because I was always afraid that, you know, this is just going to make it easier for players to be able to go and do this kind of stuff. And then I started to think, if it's legal and people are doing it, and if a player was doing it, you would really know about it. If it stays illegal and under the radar, and you know, under the, you know, whatever you want to call it, under the radar from the standpoint of legalizing, I think players are more apt to get involved then, because then the whole thing would be secret.
Well,
you know,
think about the player, though, that would get involved with that. And that guy is a very, very rare case, if he even exists at all. Like, you're telling me, like,
it could happen in college, though. I could see it happening
in college. Sure. Right. Of course. In college, that one always. But with pro sports leagues and the NFL and stuff like that, I can't even imagine.
I think
with
all the Twitter and all the phones and everything that's going on out there and all the connections to people, I think it would almost be impossible for a player to get away with it. I think they could end up dabbling in it in some way, shape, or form, but I don't think they'll ever get away with it. So
much gambling's happening now.
Right, exactly. So I think it's, you know, and just sitting here for 10 years and talking about this and listening to Governor Christie talk about it, and of course Craig talk about it and everything else, I've come to the realization that, look, you know, it's going on. You might as well somehow get a handle on it. And if people want to bet, then let them bet. And if you can get a piece of it, then I think the leagues, the individual teams, and the states are all going to get their piece of it.
Yeah, and people love to gamble on sports. They enjoy it. And those that are going to be gambling addicts, if you're worried about that, are always going to find a way to place a bet, legally or illegally. They're always going to find themselves in trouble if they have that horrible addiction that does exist.
They go to these sports books now and they can bet on horses.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And horses are ridden by human beings, jockeys.
I was just talking about this. I was just, so betting the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yes.
I like to bet the Triple Crown races. So on Derby Saturday, I go with a friend of mine to a local OTB. The place is just packed. And you think about, like, when You've got the lottery tickets everywhere. You got the betting on horses, and all that's okay. But then, like, something like DraftKings comes around, and that sleazeball Schneiderman has to come in and say, this is gambling, and we got to protect everybody.
Yeah, that sleazeball Schneiderman's got to worry about some other things.
Right,
now.
I know, I understand. And now, it's just, to me, it's like, how do you decide, like, what's okay and what's not? And, like,
isn't that amazing? A guy like Schneiderman is the guy that's sitting in judgment of everybody?
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It really is.
That's such a mind F. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. I know. I know. And it's most guys who get power like that and start to wield it around, you start to look behind the curtain.
I am the law.
Right. Yeah, you are the law.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope it happens. I mean, I think, you know, going out to Vegas and I went out there for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, to be able to bet on sports like that is cool. I mean, Legally, it's cool.
Think about what the boon this will be, I believe, what the boon will be for all these different places, whether it be Mohegan Sun or Borgata, Atlantic City, Foxwoods, you know, any of these places that are set up for this. And imagine what Super Bowl Sunday would be like. Think about how many legal bets will be placed on Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, also March Madness. I mean, there's people.
There's everything, but you know, Super Bowl Sunday seems to be the big one.
No, I know, but March Madness to me is the biggest gambling event there is because of all those games. There's people that I know that have gone out for the first weekend of the tournament to Vegas every single year because that's like their thing that they have to do every year because they love it so much. I mean, there's so many great opportunities.
Let's go to Cal in Brooklyn. Cal, what's happening, man?
Hey, guys. A long time, a couple of weeks. I have a cold and how's everything?
What's up, Cal?
Listen, I've been a sports betting enthusiast my whole life. I'm so happy. I've been predicting this for the longest time. The hypocrisy for years when sports betting was technically illegal in 49 states, yet the Daily News and the Post would have lines set by Roxy Roxbury. Such a joke, along with the lotto. And you know what? I'll even go as far as finance. You know, you wear a paisley tie and a pair of Bostonians and take a ride over on a train or ferry and basically day trade. And it's legal gambling for years of Wall Street, and then they want to condemn. I can't bet the Yankees or the Jets, but I can lose all my money on an over-the-counter volatile stock. It finally, they overcome the hypocrisy, but the biggest one is the sport leagues, the NFL and Major League Baseball and NBA, now they see the revenue possibility and the prospectus, and now they want a piece of what once they condemned. It aggravates me to no end, but it also makes me happy that finally this will just be overcome and probably a domino effect that will spill over into New York and probably the next year as well.
Yeah, and I know that some people will argue it's two different things, the lottery and betting on sports. No, it isn't. When you're that against something, when you're that against sports gambling, you can't have, like, Quick Draw in your bars and then look like you're not a hypocrite. I mean, that's ridiculous. I could walk into a bar and sit there and gamble on random numbers coming out of the sky and landing on a television screen, but I can't bet the Jets or Giants. You want to tell, like, at least I have an informed opinion on sports. I don't know what the hell's going to happen in a Quick Draw or a scratch-off ticket. I mean, that is the biggest racket there is, but the states just bring it in. Hey, you never know. And just raking it in. To me, it's and the NFL is the other biggest hypocrite in this. And also, too, the NCAA, I'll never forget, every single year you print out your bracket off of whatever site, and the NCAA has a little logo on there. It says, don't bet on it. That's what they say. Don't bet on it. Yeah, okay. Up yours. Don't bet on it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jay in East Brunswick. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
All right, Jay, what's happening?
You know, it's funny. I'm listening to you guys, and you, Boomer, specifically just mentioning, being concerned about the players being connected to the casinos, that type of thing. And I happen to be working. I'm 60 years old. And I was working for Bally's in 1983 at the time when both Mickey Mantle was working next door at the Claridge and Willie Mays was working for us at Bally's. You know, and they were both 200 grand a year, handshakers, just, cruising through the casino, saying hello to everybody, you know?
Yeah, I know that. You know, the interesting thing, Jay, when I was in the NFL, we used to have these celebrity cruises that they would ask us to go on.
Sure.
And I remember, like, my rookie year, I considered it, and then I went to our player personnel director, and I said, you know, can I do this? Because in our playbook, it said you cannot have anything to do with any, it's like the whole thing with Tony Romo out in Vegas when he was going to do that whole DraftKings thing and all that stuff. Yes, and I said, you can't do it because you're an active player and all this other stuff. They would not allow us to go on celebrity cruises because obviously when you get out into the ocean, now all of a sudden it turns into a gambling cruise. And they didn't want any of the players to be exposed to any of that stuff. And now you got a hockey team in Vegas. I mean, come on. And the hockey team is doing great.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a football team in freaking Vegas.
Yep. No, I mean, I know.
Don't sit here and tell me that, you know, on one hand, you know, you're totally against it. And on the other hand, you know, now you want a piece of it.
Well, also, don't tell me that gambling hasn't lifted that sport to a whole other level. There are so many meaningless football games that are played throughout the course of a season, especially when you get past week 12 or so. And then the only reason that people are watching it are fantasy football, which they're gambling on, or they put a play on a spread, or whatever it is, an over-under number. I mean, that's why people are interested in that. You think that someone's watching a game all the way to the end between two bad teams on a Thursday night because they really care about who wins and finishes last in the AFC West? No, they got money on it. So if don't you realize that that has lifted the popularity of your sport to another level, then all of a sudden maybe you'll be more on board.
Let's go to Joe in Old Bridge. Joe, what's happening, man?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I agree with you. I call this the half-pregnant rule. You can't be half-pregnant. It either is or isn't. And like the other caller said, if I go to Atlantic City and drop $1,000 on blackjack, but I can't bet on the Yankees, there's a great hypocrisy there. If I can bet my paycheck on the pick six, but I can't do it on the Mets, it's great hypocrisy. And you know what? I think that gambling is not a good habit. It's a self-induced crime, and if you have a problem with it like anything else, get help. But to me, this is nothing more than a ruse. They need to legalize this. And I'm a fantasy sports player. I love football and baseball. And it's not like we even put heavy money on it. It does garner our interest, though, in the small market teams and players that you may not have cared about before.
No, you know what's amazing to me is that I play golf all the time, right? I play a lot of golf.
Sure.
And I normally have a standing bet with the guys that I play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a big bet. But at the end of the day, somebody's giving somebody money. And that's part of the beauty of sitting down after the round of golf, having a beer, and looking at the scorecard saying, okay, we won the front plus two. We won the back overall. You owe us $40.
Right, yes.
I mean, there's something about that. You know what
yes.
I mean? So it's around us all the time anyway.
Yeah,
so.
No, of course. And the fantasy sports stuff, I mean, I enjoy playing daily fantasy sports. We have a league that happens every week with the friends. I've got a season-long league that I'm into here with guys in the newsroom. And all there's money on all that stuff. I mean, and it's not to the point where anybody is, you have to be responsible with
it
like everything else.
Don't you remember that, you know, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, all those guys would go to those casinos and go play craps or play blackjack, and they were always in the casinos.
Yep.
You can't keep them out of the casinos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as, look, at the end of the day, if it becomes a problem for the player, then you're going to have a problem. Then you start making decisions that end up hurting you, your team, your family, and all that other stuff. But you just can only hope that, you know, this can, by legalizing this and opening it up, you know, is just going to probably, I would think, from a player standpoint, make it even that much more difficult to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, but just because everything's wide open now.
Yeah, right.
And nothing's on the down low anymore.
I know people are worried about officials getting to people getting to officials and the whole Tim Donaghy thing. Making this legal is not going to change any of that. It really isn't, because if that stuff is going to happen, it's going to happen no matter what.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
We got another suggestion that stain on Boomer's couch could be chocolate that Chernoff was eating.
Ah.
Now, Chernoff likes to snack. He doesn't eat a lot. The guy's in great shape. He runs, but he does like to snack on little chocolate things. And
we have by very good authority that's what they think it is.
Yeah, so
we're going to do a DNA test on it a little bit later on.
Forensics, DNA. Yeah.
Did not smell like chocolate.
It did not.
Mm-mm.
What did it smell like?
I think it looks like blood.
Yeah, I'm with Jerry.
It's either blood or that dark makeup. I'm telling you, I really felt like it was makeup.
Spank buildup in the corner.
Who's bleeding on the couch, though, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I feel like makeup's a more plausible explanation. But someone's just going to go in there and start bleeding on the couch?
It's been there now for about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, 2 weeks?
It's starting to bother me. Like, nobody's doing anything about it. Like,
why don't we clean it?
With what? Do we have somebody?
Dawn.
Do we actually have somebody that comes in? No, you don't clean a couch with Dawn.
Why?
This is not a dish.
You could.
Have you ever heard of taking a stain out with Dawn and warm water?
No,
I've never heard of that.
Absolutely.
I do it on the couch,
A fabric cleaner, I've heard of that.
Or you could use Dawn and warm water.
Now, do you mean Dawn, a woman named Dawn, or
actual? No, Dawn the soap.
Dawn.
Or Palmolive.
Palmolive
of Dawn. Dishpan hands.
How about Myers? Does that work?
Okay, if that's a dish soap, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Spot remover at home I could bring in for you.
Or we could just go downstairs and get Palmolive because it would cost $2.
Don't we have anything in the kitchen? Do we have something in the kitchen?
I'll clean the stain. I will clean the stain when I get done here.
Thank you.
I'll videotape it.
In the kitchen, there is some Dawn. There's a whole bottle
I'll go
of Dawn.
Get the Dawn.
There's a lot of Dawn over there.
Let me ask you this.
Some Dawn.
What if Dawn spreads the stain and doesn't remove it?
It won't do that.
Why don't you shut your face?
Mike's Dawn.
By the way, what's the worst that can happen?
What?
The stain gets a little bit bigger spread and then you can still bring in your
spot cleaner
or whatever the hell you call it.
Well, do it very, like, you know, like try not to make a big spot out of it.
Yeah, dab it.
Dab. We got to dab it. Little.
Dab the Dawn.
I will clean the couch.
Dab the Dawn.
I'll dab the Dawn on your couch in your office.
And by the way, you know what else is starting today? So we have this whole thing with the Supreme Court talking about PASPA, that Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, and whether or not they're going to overturn all that stuff. We also have the memorabilia trial of Eli Manning starting. This is a civil fraud trial. This is not a criminal trial.
Yeah.
And they're basically alleging that he knowingly sold game-used helmets that supposedly were not game-used.
Yeah,
and they have an email or something that, you know, points to this whole thing. Now, the interesting thing about this trial, you know, it's embarrassing for Eli and, of course, the Giants and everything else. But if he, you know, I don't know how the NFL is going to look at this, because supposedly there's a personal conduct policy in that policy, it talks about fraud. You can't do anything fraudulent. It doesn't say criminally or civilly. And could Eli Manning be suspended, like, for 4 games
if that happens after this draft and not taking a quarterback and all? And we're all in with Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley, and then he's suspended for 4 games. And here comes Davis Webb.
I mean, could it happen? I guess it could, right?
I mean, if
Tom Brady could be suspended for deflating balls, I mean, why not?
Right, exactly. The NFL's capable of anything when it comes to suspension.
So there's a lot riding on this, not just the embarrassment of the whole thing, but just – there's a legitimate concern that there is a chance that he could be suspended.
What are you doodling over there, Jerry? I'm curious.
Designs. I always do designs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the starting quarterback of the Giants, dude, and you guys are talking about doodling. What are you doing?
I wasn't talking about anything. I'm listening to you and contributing.
It's interesting, the artwork that Jerry's got going over there. Could you want to hold it up to the camera or no?
Not really.
You know what? The amazing thing is I'm reading a couple articles. I've read like 10 different articles in this whole thing. Here's the one line that is really the one paragraph. Manning himself was not as fortunate. He is the only defendant who the judge found could have possibly violated common law fraud, which carries the extra legal burden of having to intent to deceive. Manning not only delivered the helmets to Steiner to satisfy his contract, but he signed a letter directed to one of the collectors attesting to the helmet being game used. He signed another helmet as game used as well.
Yeah, I mean that smoking gun email.
That's significant, man. You're talking about Eli Manning may be suspended for 2 games, 4 games, or
I would think 4.
And I would bet you. See, this is where this whole thing went down with Tom Brady. That there are 31 other teams that are watching how the league office handles this.
Yeah, but also the thing about the Patriots was they didn't feel like they got him the first time with Spygate. I don't know if they feel the same way about the Giants as they do.
Well, the difference between this and the Patriots is that the Indianapolis Colts accused the Patriots of something. So a member club accused the Patriots of something, therefore the league had to react to it. This is not a member club, obviously. This is a civil fraud trial. And I don't know how the league will look at this.
If he's found guilty of this, though,
yes,
I think he has to be suspended.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure by the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Redskins, and everybody else. Yes, suspend him.
Think Jerry Jones is going to sit by quietly?
No, I don't.
No, I don't see that happening.
Especially after what happened with Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, he's got a million guys that have been suspended. All right, Jerry, what do you got, man, other than those crop circles you got?
We're brought to you by Newcastle Building Products and the only streak-free roof from Scotchgard and 3M. You know what we have? We have another Yankee win.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on and line, base hit, right field. And Duhar comes round third. and he will score. It's a base hit and an RBI for Judge, and the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
And they wind up beating the A's 6-2. John Sterling, the call on the
Here
fan.
Here comes the Judge.
Here comes the Judge. That capped the scoring for the Yanks, who go to 28-12. The big day, though, was provided by Giancarlo Stanton. Four hits, including a home run.
Lefty pitcher.
Whatever. 4-for-4, home run, 3 RBIs, doing it and getting the job done on Yes.
It was good. It was a good day, and you know, we came out swinging and we were able to get the win.
And he was asked about beating up lefties and why and how.
They have a little running tail to the ball, but you know, you just let the barrel get to it.
I would say the good news is that the Nationals tomorrow night are going to throw Gio Gonzalez out.
Good news for you, the Yankee fan.
Well, I want the Yankees to win this one.
Right.
I need them to sweep the Nationals. Let's go, Yankees. Come on, man. Let's go, man. We're rooting hard for them.
Here was
and
Aaron
Giancarlo Stanton. I need like 3 or 4 home runs in that bandbox of a stadium down there
in
Washington. No DH. I know that sucks. I hope somebody doesn't hurt their left or right arm swinging a bat, though.
Here's Boone Stanton versus the lefties.
The kind of power he is where you can, you know, hit with slug the other way.
Hey, it's with a lot of slug.
Can I think about this? We have one of our best players blow his shoulder out swinging a bat.
Yep.
And we have
like
our best pitcher
blew his shoulder out.
Right. And we have our best pitcher basically hyperextend his elbow swinging a bat.
No, we said it at the time.
Who the hell does that happen to?
Only the Mets. And didn't Steven Matz years ago hurt himself swinging a bat too, I think? I mean, it's the only team that's got three guys that have hurt themselves swinging a bat.
Take and then they come back off, and then they come, you know, he comes off the whatever, the 10-day DL, and he throws 45 pitches. And who the hell does that?
It doesn't give up a run, which is a miracle.
God. All right, well, since you're benching the Mets, let's get to them because they wound up losing to the Phillies.
Williams strokes one deep to right. Forget it. That is way out of here. Nick Williams launches a 3-run homer, and the Phillies take the lead.
That's Gary Cohen on SNY, and right before that home run, he and Ron Darling were having the conversation, do you let Seawald pitch to Nick Williams? You got Jerry Blevins ready, and Darling was in line with, yeah, you know what, he's in a groove. You let him go here. Here was Mickey Callaway. Mets lost 4-2. It was Seawald all the way.
We needed Seawald to get through that inning, just to make it through the rest of the game, really.
Now, Steve Gelbs on SNY did further investigate that.
So you say the 2 outs is why you decided to stick with Seawald there, but if there were,
if it would have been bases loaded, one out, we would have had to go. You know, if it looked like Seawald was really struggling to get through it, but just bad pitch.
Really, all he needs to do is 9-for-41 is what lefties were against Seawald. End it there. Yeah. That's it, and he was throwing well.
And how about this? We have a reliever who we have not seen, Schwarzik.
We have
a starting pitcher, Vargas, who we're going to skip his next start.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know.
How about those two free agent signings?
Oh, he skipped the season.
Yeah. No, I don't need to
make
see
him a left-handed
ever again.
Specialist.
Yeah, I don't know. Make him a bench coach.
I mean,
get out of here. Yeah. good to see Dom Smith again, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He struck out.
Yeah, right.
By the way, to be fair, you killed Lagares a little while ago.
I didn't kill him. He's batting .315. Just saying, where's the launch angle?
He's not playing.
Not playing.
I mean, he's
lot,
pinch hitting here and there, but I don't think through Cincinnati or Philly, I don't think he got one game start.
It's unbelievable.
So it's really been an at bat here and at bat there, and that's pretty much been it. Speaking of Jacob DeGrom, as we were talking about before, he acknowledges that bad first inning.
It's not ideal. It's definitely not the goal. So I understand it, and you know, look forward to getting back out there in 5 days.
No runs, but 45 pitches, which is why he came out. Here's Callaway. Hard to score without the services of Jay Bruce or Todd Frazier.
That is tough. I mean, today we had the base runners. We just didn't get him in.
Could not get a hit with runners.
Mickey's birthday, by the way.
Yes,
yesterday.
It was. Yeah. I cannot believe I'm older than him.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm 44. He's just turned 43.
Wow. I can't believe that either.
Al's almost 50. Eddie, who knows? And Boomer's older than Callaway.
Eddie, who knows?
Well, he doesn't acknowledge anything.
51.
Oh, you are 51.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, we're all like significantly older than the Met manager. It's weird.
What day were you born on, Eddie?
That I won't say.
Why not?
Don't you remember the one time we did that and Eddie shut down, didn't talk to us for a week?
Yes.
It's like, whatever.
Okay. Happy birthday to you.
I mean, I look older than Mickey Callaway,
but
I'm not.
But you're not. Mets home for the Blue Jays tomorrow night. They were discussing also on the broadcast or the telecast what they're going to do for Curtis Granderson in his return. It's 4 years. But then they went on to say he was such a good guy off the field. Who knows? So anyway, that'll be tomorrow. Nationals beat the Diamondbacks 6-4. A couple of home runs for Mark Reynolds. Braves over the The Marlins 4-3. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 5-3. J.D. Martinez homered. And the Reds over the Dodgers 5-3. They complete the sweep. The Dodgers having a tough, tough season. 16-24 so far. NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals. Game 1, Celtics and Cavs, and it goes to Boston.
Inbound to Smart. They leave him alone, so he takes a 3 with everybody in the building saying, no, Marcus, no. And, of course, he drills it, and the lead is back to 19.
Well, LeBron James is just looking at him when I took that shot.
Didn't expect him to shoot. Sound like J.R. Smith, right? No, no, no. Yes, well, that's what happened yesterday. They wound up winning 108-83. Jaylen Brown had 23. Morris finished with 21-10. Here was Tyronn Lue. They attacked us, and we didn't get it done.
Yeah, we didn't play well. We understand that. We know we have to be better. I thought early on they really attacked us in the paint.
Here was LeBron. No big deal. We lost the game. We'll be fine.
I've been down 0-1. I've been down 0-2. I've been down before in the postseason. but for me, there's never no level of concern, no matter how bad I played tonight with 7 turnovers.
And he was not great. Didn't shoot it well either.
Well, at least
he
took ownership of it.
He did take ownership of it. Absolutely right. So they're up. Was it 1-0? You got Game 1 Western Finals tonight. Rockets take on the Warriors. NHL, Capitals beat the Lightning 6-2. Deciding goal here. And I'm going to play the Tampa call because you've got Michigan and Esposito not happy when they score again late second period, meaning the Capitals did.
Deflected wide right. Jeez. 5 to go in the period. Kuznetsov right circle. Centers and scores in!
Unbelievable.
Eller again. Now, the clock reads 0, but I'm pretty sure this was in before the horn.
Yeah, there was like 1 second again. Another 1 second, 2 second goal
again. Just
against.
Like game one.
It's just unbelievable. Oh, well. What are you going to do, right? Just the way it goes.
Amazing analysis.
I'm not sure why I thought that funny.
Amazing. I would tell you, that's pretty much right. That's how most hockey people think. Oh, well. Hey, what are you
going to
do?
Unbelievable. Nothing you can do, right?
Capitals round
up winning. Is this thing on? Hello?
6-2 is the
save
final.
Me. I'm drowning out here.
Are you good, Jerry?
Yes, 2-0 right. Series lead. Tonight you've got the Jets and the Golden Knights. Webb Simpson won the Players' Championship at Sawgrass, and sadly, Chuck Knox passed away at the age of 86.
All right, Jerry, good job.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You know, Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the A's. That's what you would have thought. Maybe a sweep. Unfortunately, Sonny Gray did not pitch very well on Friday. Mets split with the Phillies, and now what's going to be interesting is watching the Yankees against the red-hot Washington Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, you know, to me, I look at both of these teams, and the Yankees are so much better than the Nationals are. I know how well the Nationals have played, but I don't care if it's in Washington, which it is. I don't care at what time they're playing. There's three really good teams right now, in my opinion. They all reside in the American League.
You don't think Washington's a good team?
Well,
they really
are, but I mean, right.
At least they could throw Scherzer out there.
I understand, and they might be great by the end of the year. I'm just talking about what I've seen this year, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are at the top of that list.
Hey, Giancarlo might hit 3 home runs tomorrow night against Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah, I know.
He's just raking against left-handers right now, and it is I want them to win in the worst way the next 2 games.
Of course,
I'm rooting for the Yankees, baby.
Yeah,
I'm
admitting
it.
And I wish I could care more about what the other teams in the division do right now.
Yes.
But the Mets are just so bad and have just left this sour taste in my mouth for the longest time now that I just want to see them get right. And I really do think, you might think I'm nuts, I think that rain out on Saturday cost them real momentum. I really do. I think if they would have come back out with...
Dude, momentum is only,
But Syndergaard was on the mound, and I know he hadn't pitched all that well, but still, you got Syndergaard on the mound after that Friday night comeback. You see how fired up they were when Conforto hit that home run? And then you're supposed to play the next day, and you don't?
Yeah, they were amazed that they actually could get it done.
I
don't know. You know, poor Mickey Callaway came in here with such high hopes and everything else, and they got off to this unbelievable start, and they look like a legitimate baseball team. And now he's running into all the other, potholes and speed bumps that every other manager before him has run into with the New York Mets.
Right.
He's got injuries. He's got, he had issues with Matt Harvey. He's got guys that are not hitting right now. This is supposedly a home run hitting team, and there's basically nobody hitting those home runs with the exception of Cespedes yesterday. And he doesn't look like he's 100%.
Yeah, well, of course he's not. I mean, he clearly isn't. I mean, it's obvious. The guy's hobbling around like crazy. I'm telling you, I've got this feeling that once you get Frazier and Bruce back, then they're going to end up putting Cespedes on the DL. That's the feeling I have.
Right, and here's the one thing about the Yankee fan. And I listened all weekend long here on The Fan, and every Yankee fan said the same thing. We have been saying the same thing since the season started. The number one concern for Yankee fans, we'll go to Justin in Queens. Justin, what do you got for us?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Justin?
Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not a Yankee hater. That's first off. So everybody talking about Gary Sanchez last week, I think is absolutely nuts. The bigger problem is the starting pitching. Tanaka, Sabathia, Montgomery's on the DL. The new kid that filled in on Saturday.
Domingo Herman.
Yes.
Herman, whatever. And Sonny Gray. After Severino, we are, if it wasn't for our bats, we'd be horrendous. Do you guys think we're going to make a move before the All-Star break, or do you think Cashman's going to wait until the
he's going to wait until the trading deadline? I don't think
other teams are ready to trade just yet.
Right, you got to see who. If you make a deal like this, and then all of a sudden some other guy becomes available that you'd rather have, especially with all the chips that the Yankees have to trade. I also think you're making the situation seem a little bit worse. I mean, Tanaka's had a couple of bad outings, but he's also pitched.
We've been horrendous, Gio.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's been Sonny Gray who's been really, really bad.
Well, the other thing that's hurting is you're missing Warren and you're missing Canely in the bullpen. That hurts as well.
And CeCe, I mean, outside of his last start, which was against one of the best offenses in baseball in Boston, has been really good. He went into that start with a sub-2 ERA, and he's still got like a 2.33 ERA. So he's been fine. So
guys, I just think if we're not putting up seven runs a game, our record wouldn't be what it is, and I think that's a big problem. And Cashman, I don't think he didn't address the starting pitching at all. I think it's really bad.
But you know, the amazing thing is though, Justin, thanks for the call. You know, the amazing thing is you can bitch and complain about the pitching, but when the pitching saw three of the best teams in baseball, they basically sailed right through them.
Yeah, and
what do you think about that?
Right,
and they were also being held down by Charlie Morton and Verlander, and you know they came back and they got the bullpen of the Astros. So all these teams are really, really close. And it's going to take a deal to bring in a top-end starter to put right in the middle of this lineup because I think Justin's right. I think, you know, you're asking a lot. Now, I will say that Tanaka last year in the playoffs got better.
He was great in the playoffs.
He basically turned out to be the $150 million pitcher that you wanted him to be. It's these other middling starts and frustrating and – you know, it's five innings, six runs, that kind of thing that drives Yankee fans crazy.
Yeah, and I also think that the Yankees will be able to be okay until they end up getting another pitcher at the trade deadline. And it's funny because the caller will say, you know, if we're not scoring this many runs or the offense isn't that good, but you know, it is, though. The offense is that good, and it's only getting better at this point. So it's not like this is a team that's going to go into a hole offensively again. You saw them scuffling in the early portion of the season when they're 9-9, but you really think they're going to go in a hole again? I mean, Didi Gregorius was like 0-100, and the team was still winning basically every single game.
I would say statistically the Yankees are still in the top five in overall pitching, but there is not a Yankee fan alive that thinks that their five-man rotation, which really turns out to be a three-man rotation in the playoffs, is going to be able to stack up against some of these other teams. That's where I think the rub is here. During the main season here, I think everything will be fine. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the league, and I think with this current pitching staff the way it is, they'll stay that way. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to the playoffs, when you really got to have those guys that you can count on, you know, right now, do you believe that the Yankees can recreate what they did last year?
Yeah, I do. I still think he'll probably go out and get another starting pitcher, seeing who's available. I think that Brian Cashman will do that. I still think they'll be all right. Because I just saw them. I mean, I know it's a long season. You can give me all these qualifiers. But I just saw them mow through these teams that they're supposedly going to meet in the playoffs. Those teams.
But their ERA is starting to inch up a little bit now. You know what I mean?
Aren't they third in the American League in ERA?
They are. Overall, I think in Major League Baseball, they're around 10th. So it's not as good as it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, it's a season where, you know, tomorrow night they play Gio Gonzalez, left-handed pitcher. What does that mean? Stanton hits three home runs.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Let's go to Maddie at Richfield. Maddie, what's up?
Hey, guys. I have to disagree with the other caller about the Yankees pitching. I mean, I think you guys just said how good the ERA has been. And to be honest with you, and when you come down to the playoffs, I mean, look what Tanaka did last year in the playoffs. He stepped it up. You know, you really only need three guys. No fourth and fifth starter is having a 3 ERA in baseball. You know, you got to have one.
Well, all right, so who is going to be your third starter? If the playoffs started today, who would be your third starter for the Yankees?
It's CeCe.
I hand the ball to CeCe Sabathia, hands down, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you don't even.
Sonny Gray and then either Montgomery or Domingo Bernard, those guys are all long relievers then come the playoffs.
Sonny Gray goes right into the bullpen in the playoffs if they even keep him. You know, they're going to add a pitcher, but, you know, you got to see what's even out there. I mean, if you go around baseball.
But, Matt, you just said it yourself. Did you hear what you just said yourself? They're going to add a pitcher. You just said that yourself.
Yeah.
The long run. Right. Absolutely. Just to be able to. You go through at least 10, you know, 8 to 10 pitchers in a season. You know, you're going to have guys going to DL. I guarantee you CeCe is going to DL. Gray's going to get hurt. It just happens. It's just part of baseball.
Yeah, they always have like 8 or 9 starters anyway. We all know that. Let's go to Brucey in Meridian, Connecticut. Bruce, what's happening?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Bruce?
First of all, I'll let you know, I'm old school as far as baseball is concerned. And when Torres dropped down that bunt, now, I don't know if he was asked if he was bunting for a hit. Or bunting.
He was bunting for a hit. No, he was bunting for a hit because, you know, the manager said after the game, you know, I didn't tell him to bunt there. Are you crazy?
But that's all right. I understand that. The manager doesn't have to tell him to bunt. But if he puts the bunt down, is he bunting for a hit or is he bunting to sacrifice? Now, if he's bunting for a sacrifice, which is what he basically, I thought he did, now he's got two guys in scoring position with one out with the top of the order up. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty heady baseball for a guy that's just been playing for a month and a half or so in the major.
Sure, it's totally unselfish, but it's also something that guys don't do in Major League Baseball these days. They don't take the bat out of their own hands.
And it's also a game in which I think didn't he hit a home run in that game?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So the point being is that the Yankees want him up there swinging the bat. They don't want him bunting, and they didn't tell him to bunt.
Yeah.
And we could sit here and we could say, that's great. It's small ball. It's the way you're supposed to play. That's the old school way of playing and all that other stuff. I get that. But that's not what the Yankees want. The Yankees want that kid up there swinging a bat.
Yeah, and to think that a guy who has the talent that Gleyber Torres has is going to take the bat out of his own hands with a runner in scoring position, that's hard to believe. I think he wanted to get on base. I think he saw something. He felt like he could drop it down. He wanted to get on base.
It did look like he was trying to sacrifice. Let's go to Jason in West New York, New Jersey. Jace, what's happening?
As a Yankee fan, we need to shut up and stop complaining. We don't have the perfect team. Let's enjoy the ride. We have enough starting pitchers. Yes, we maybe need to replace Sonny, but we have Tukas coming up in Sheffield and Adams, who may do that in the next year. So just enjoy the ride and let's play ball. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, right, I mean, man. Well, here's the problem, Jason, is the fact that the Yankees feel like, and their fans, as they should, that they have to win the World Series this year. And if you see any sort of blemish on them at all, you're going to go and put it under a microscope.
That's exactly right.
That's what's
right.
going to happen. So when it was Neil Walker, we heard about that. When it was Brett Gardner, we heard about that. With Sonny Gray now, we're hearing about that. So, I mean, no matter
what
who...
What about Gary Sanchez? How much have we heard about that?
Yeah, Gary Sanchez's defense.
How about Giancarlo Stanton? How much did we hear about that?
That in the beginning, yeah. Right, in the beginning of the season.
I think there's only two guys that we really haven't heard too much about. And I'm thinking that the Didi Gregorius chants are going to start coming here because he's in a prolonged slump.
I don't know.
But we have not heard one bad word about Aaron Judge. Nobody
man,
is questioning. Everybody thinks that this guy is becoming one of the best players in baseball right before our eyes. From a defensive standpoint, where he just stands up and throws lasers, to the way he handles right field in Yankee Stadium, to his ability to be still involved. It seems like every game he's involved in something.
Yeah, and Severino, too. Judge and Severino right now, untouchable. I was thinking, too, with Betances, we heard about him. We've heard plenty about that already.
We've heard about Sonny Gray. We've heard about – well, we haven't really heard much about CeCe, so everybody seems to be okay and getting off of his back a little bit.
Right.
A Tanaka we've heard about.
Yeah, of
course. Right, from a negative standpoint. So it's not like everything's perfect, even though they have the best record in baseball.
Yeah, well
– it's still not perfect.
Well, it's never going to be. But that's what it is. It's all anxiety-driven. What's going to be the thing that prevents us from winning the World Series?
You know, the other amazing thing is, like, if I'm Mickey Callaway and I'm here and I'm like, God, dang it, everybody's so negative.
Yeah,
like, how do I stop it? Yeah, it's almost impossible to stop it.
But then when he tries to stop it, he tries to be positive. He gets mocked by you.
I'm not trying to mock him. I'm just trying to be honest.
I know, but I'm saying that when a guy wants to love guys, wants to be positive, and then everybody hates him, for saying that.
That works great. You know, I mean, just like now all of a sudden, supposedly there's whatever this pushback towards Bill Belichick in New England and all this other stuff. Hey, dummies, you've been to 8 freaking Super Bowls. You won 5 of them. Are you – whatever it takes to get me to a Super Bowl, I will do it.
Sure.
That's the way you got to look at it. Whatever it takes me to get to the World Series, I will do it. And that's – you know, if you – that's why I'm like, you have to convince your team. And I think Brad Stevens has done this, like in Boston. Like, you got to convince your team – you're all in this together, man, you know? And if we're going to stop LeBron James, guess what? We got to do it together.
And if the Patriots had won that Super Bowl against the Eagles, we wouldn't heard word one about this. They would have had another parade. He would have said, scream no days off again, and everybody would have been happy and not one peep.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What's wrong with being tough on guys?
No, there's nothing
what's
wrong,
wrong with being making guys sure that they know that you do your job and let the other guy do his job. And when we all do our own job collectively, guess what? We're going to win more than we're going to lose.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it if you're winning. It could fall on deaf ears if you're losing and you got a guy who's riding you like crazy. But with the Patriots, certainly it's worked.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I'm going to go out to play Shinnecock today.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, you should have just stayed there and done the show from Southampton this morning.
I would have loved to, but yeah. I know you drove past Shinnecock. They have the tents up and everything ready to rock and roll. They are like getting ready.
Right. It looks like the circus came to town, man.
Yeah, so today the USGA hosts a bunch of, you know, I guess press people and stuff like that. You go
bougie.
Out and play and see what the course looks like and see how difficult it is.
Well, I got nothing driving to do today. I could come with you.
Well, driving past it, it looked great.
Well, I actually have a full free day today.
I don't want you anywhere near me on
I have
golf
a
course.
Full free day today.
Full free week.
Yeah, I know. I got a free week. I got a throwback week.
It's going to be great to be out on the boat this week.
Ugh, the weather's just...
I think today's going to be nice out there, actually. I was looking at my dark sky, about 65 degrees.
I think you'll get a decent afternoon.
Yeah,
I do.
Be fine. So I'm looking forward to it as the U.S. Open is right around the corner in about a month from today. And, you know, because of all the inclement weather that we've had around here the last couple of weeks, like the golf courses are taking a while to really take hold.
Sure.
But driving past that place, it looks like it's
it
in
looked
great
awesome.
Shape.
Yeah, so who are you playing with today?
Some people.
Just some people? You don't know?
Ernie L's.
Oh, hey, Boomer. How are you? Good to see you again. You get here in your Raptor? Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. well, all right. I hit some golf balls last Monday, so I feel pretty good. I feel like I could do this. So I can play.
I don't think you can do
I'll
this.
I'll play Shinnecock
with
you.
No, I do not think you can
do this. No, I'll do it. Look at me on CBS Sports.
Yeah, don't show up in those jeans either.
Oh, no, I would. I'll show
Goodbye.
Up.
Goodbye. See you later.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Sorry, son. Yeah, that's a nice swing right there as we watch it on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, beautiful. I think I'm ready for Shinnecock.
You know, if you notice how like CBS Sports Network always seems to have things that we do wrong.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed that.
I think they take great joy in watching us flounder at whatever we're doing at the moment.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
meanwhile, I mean, like they put up this morning that the Mets were fourth in the AL East. Did we make fun of them?
Well, you just did, I think.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
So take that. Huh?
Take that, CBS Sports Network.
All right, Jerry, what's happening?
We are brought to you by Bravo Pizza, family-owned and operated since 1985. Visit them on the corner of 30th and 7th or find them online at bravopizzany.com. Also brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score
Who's
and free
toasting
credit.
Toasting something around here?
I know.
Report
it's
monitoring
good, right?
From Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Well, I went in the back to get the Dawn of the Palm Olive. They didn't have it.
Okay.
But there is a toaster back there that was out. So perhaps someone's making their waffles with peanut butter or syrup right now.
Doesn't it smell good?
Yeah, it smells like toast or waffles.
I know.
So you could have that.
I like a good waffle in the morning.
Go on. But your couch will be fine, by the way.
It will be.
All good. Because I cleaned it. I went down. I bought the Dawn.
You bought the Dawn?
Yeah. There was none in the commissary.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Oh, I didn't see this on Twitter yet.
Not quite done. It's got to dry a little bit. One more little application. It'll be good to go.
You like the way it came out, boy?
And I would say that was absolutely chocolate.
Yeah, so definitely from Chernoff.
Yeah, I mean, he likes candy.
He's definitely churn off and chocolate probably falling out of his pocket or
perhaps,
something.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah. So,
or
there you
know
go.
How he, like, when he eats chocolate, like, he licks his fingers. Like that.
Okay.
You know, he likes gummies, too, like little gummy stuff. Like, there was one time he was yelling at me, and midway through, he pulled a gummy worm out of his drawer and ate it. It was so hard for me not to laugh.
You know?
Like, he was like, what were you thinking? He's eating a gummy worm. So I'm like, I can't take you seriously right now.
He's actually pulled a gummy worm out of his pocket when he was talking to me.
That's disgusting. Gummy worm filled with lint.
This one's only from last week. This is still good.
Okay. Yankees A's yesterday at the stadium. Yankees going for the series win over the A's, and it was Giancarlo Stanton early. Got him out to a good start.
Here's the 2-0. Hit on the ground up the middle. There's a base hit center field. Gardner scores. Here comes Judge. He scores. Didi holds at second. It is a two-run base hit for Giancarlo. And the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
John Sterling,
the cow, jumping over the moon.
Yes, he was not jumping over the moon yesterday, but he also homered as well. He was 4-for-4 on the day. Big day for Giancarlo Stanton. And the Yankees beat the A's 6-2. Yankees move 16 games over 500, now to 28-12. Here was Stanton. Yes, had to get it done and win the series.
We got to put it on him, you know. We know what we have to do, and we're confident that we will do it.
And they did, exactly right. Now, next thing is Aaron Boone, and he talks about the trade. It's a good thing he's talking about Washington here, otherwise we could have some fun with the audio, I guess.
Look forward to getting on that train today and putting our nose back in and diving into the Nats.
Otherwise, it'd be the nose into the Nats, which would make no sense whatsoever.
Get in on that train,
did he
man.
Say that he said, "Yeah, get the nose into the Nats."
Yeah, put the
pleasure
nose
train.
Yeah, jump on the pleasure train and put the nose.
Then
right
I'd probably get on the pleasure train.
Yeah, what?
The Yankee pleasure train to D.C. Exactly
right. Get right. Your nose right in there.
Here was Boone, team 28-12. Not going to get nuts, though.
It's a long, long way to go. I feel like we've had our share of adversity. I feel like we've handled it really well.
What adversity? You got the best team in baseball.
What adversity
they
have? 9-9?
I mean,
he did say also during this press conference, I watched this, where he's like, you know, all this team has been through. I was like, what?
In 40 games.
All this team has been through. I tell you, that CCDL trip for 4 days.
No,
was
Greg
really,
Bird.
Boy. Man, and, you know, and having Domingo Herman pitch on
and
short notice.
And Drury is dealing with the headaches.
Right.
And,
this guy can't see, for crying out loud. We only brought up a guy who's
been through a lot, man.
Looks like Gary Sheffield reincarnated to fill his place. And, you know, Aaron Judge could be the MVP and Louis Severino could win the Cy Young. There's been a lot of stuff we've been dealing with.
A lot of winning, too.
Jeez.
Here's Dellin Betances. He pitched an easy inning. Things coming together.
Feel great. You know, I felt great for the past 3 weeks, I would say. You know, I feel like stuff-wise, it's probably the best I've thrown throughout my whole career.
And Brett Gardner, again,
one
on
inning,
base. Couple
right?
Hits.
One
yes.
inning.
And
that's
he struck,
it.
Yep.
One
I think
inning,
14
man.
Or 15 pitches. Not bad. It was pretty good. Here was a reporter with Gardner.
How locked in have you been feeling over these last 5 or 6 games at the plate?
Better.
And he has. You can tell jump-starting the team. Yankees in Washington tomorrow night, where they will put their head right into the Nats. As for the Mets in Philadelphia, and you had the big home run from Nick Williams, a pinch hit 3-run homer in the 6th off of Paul Sewald. And then you had Jerry's Familia came in the 8th inning, trying to keep it a 3-2 game as the Mets had gotten a run back, but he could not do that.
The 1-1 lifted in the air deep to center. Going back Conforto at the track in front of the fence, and it's gone to the deepest part of the ballpark over that big wall at what they call the angle to the left of the 409-foot sign.
That is Howie Rose on WOR. Carlos Santana makes it a 4-2 game. There's your final. Phillies beat the Mets. Howie Rose, WOR. Nick Williams, the home run. Santana, the second. Mickey Callaway. So he left in Sewald to face Williams, and this is certainly something that's come up, and they were discussing on the TV telecast yesterday. And he was asked afterwards, do you second-guess yourself sometimes? Could have gone to Blevins. He opted not to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you always go back and think about what would have been. But, I mean, if you live your life with what would have been, you wouldn't be a very happy person.
I just think that Gary Cohn should just manage the team from the booth.
Yeah.
He's always be on it. You know what I mean?
He is on it, sure. But, I mean, I thought Darling was good, too. I mean, Darling made the point. You can make every case that he stays in this game.
I'm just picturing Gary Cohn trying to motivate Yoenis Cespedes. You know? Ceci, you want to go out there and, I don't know, sprint or something? No? Okay, fine.
Good to go.
Was this your diamonds I found on the ground over here?
No. Here was Sewald in terms of the home run. Just bad pitch.
Just pitch location. Down and into a lefty is a tough spot. It's not where it was supposed to be. And then I got burned from it. But
nothing. He did get burned. I actually didn't think it was a bad pitch. I thought it was down, but whatever. Here's Jacob DeGrom. 45 pitches in the first inning, and then he was done, at least by Callaway standards. He acknowledged it.
It's not ideal. It's definitely not the goal, so I understand it. And, you know, look forward to getting back out there in 5 days.
Also said didn't expect to come out after one inning. Thought he would go a little bit longer. Did not. Mets home for the Blue Jays tomorrow night at Citi Field. Elsewhere in baseball, Nationals beat the Diamondbacks 6-4. Astros over the Rangers 6-1. Tigers beat the Mariners 5-4. Robbie Cano fractured hand hit by a pitch, so he's going to miss significant time. You had the Angels over the Twins 2-1. Shohei Ohtani 6 1/3 innings, 11 strikeouts. Zach Cozart the game-winning RBI single there. Braves did win. They beat the Marlins 4-3. NBA playoffs up in Boston. Celtics take game one from the Cavs.
Tatum pull up on Thompson. Go! Money. Drills another three.
Oh, man.
Tatum, where he's been very, very good today, is recognizing who the defender is in front of him.
I like this guy. I love this guy, Cedric Maxwell.
Oh, he's the best.
They should put together a soundtrack of his noises at the end of the season.
There's a couple of great ones from the past where he's like, oh, it's dripping all over the court. Like, he goes on for like a minute.
I'd like to have a camera on him with his faces.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything like what you just did? Must see. Celtics won 108-83. Grandy and Maxwell on Celtics radio. Boston really went wire to wire and winning easy. Jaylen Brown, 23. Marcus Morris, 21. Here's Tyronn Lue. He was asked if the layoff of not playing for a few days hurt.
No, we just didn't play well. I mean, they had the same amount of rest. They was off, too, so... You know, they play better than we did tonight, and we understand that.
LeBron James, 15 points, 5 of 16 shooting. Kevin Love, 17 points, 5 of 14 shooting. LeBron says the ball didn't go down. That's it.
You know, I think in the first quarter, JR and Kev, G. Hill, they had some great looks. They just didn't go.
And that was the bulk of their problems. Al Horford had 20, so Boston takes game number one. Game one, Western.
Game number one. You're doing it too now.
I guess. I mean, game
number
one.
No, but game one's different than game number one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Game number one of the Western Finals. Rockets and Warriors tonight. Who's Steph Curry have to beat a great offensive team?
It seems like anybody who goes and plays for D'Antoni's system, their offensive numbers go out, you know, out the roof.
They go out
except
the roof.
The Knicks.
Out the roof.
Yeah. Except when the Knicks added Carmelo, that everybody's offensive numbers go down.
Yeah, through the floor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that's game one later tonight. And then you had the Capitals beating the Lightning 6-2. Alex Ovechkin, a goal and an assist as they take game number two. So they're up 2-0. Tonight, game number two of the Western Finals. Winnipeg home for Vegas. Jets lead 1-0 there. In golf, Webb Simpson was number one yesterday. He won the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. And former Seahawks head coach Chuck Knox passed away. He was 86. I was surprised he was 86. I don't know why.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah,
man.
No, I know. I guess.
He coached the Seahawks, right, the Bills, and I think he was with the Jets. And, you know, he had quite the career, man. I'll tell you what, his teams were so tough to play against, especially when you went to the Kingdom. Oh, man. Yeah,
and Kurt Warner was the running back, right? The
yes.
other Kurt Warner?
Yeah, Penn State with Kurt Warner,
yep.
Yes.
So very
the
sad
Rams,
there.
Too, right? Did you
the
say
Rams, that? The Rams. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Right.
Anyway. Oh. It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Good job by you, Jerry. Just want to say thank you once again for cleaning the couch. You did a hell of a job.
Yeah, I don't appreciate people on Twitter, though, asking me to come clean their laundry now. One guy just sent me like a picture of like tidy whities and said, can you take stains out? No, I can't.
Wait, he had skid marks in his underwear and he wants you to wash them?
I wasn't going that far, but I'm just saying.
I will say, there's nothing quite like, speaking of that, there's nothing like quite like walking past Joe Beningo as he walks into the bathroom with a newspaper in his hand.
Poop emoji.
Yeah, you know what's going on there.
No, I don't. That image from you now in our head.
Right. Oh, the pain.
He does, pooping.
He just sits there. He does not stay quiet.
I would think that would...
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, more? Jeez. Will you stop already?
Pooping.
This is unbelievable. This is what happens, bro, with the Metamucil. This is what happens.
Number two. All right.
There better be some toilet paper in there, bro. I can't deal with this. I cannot deal with this.
I thought he'd be all backed up with his hip surgery and all that other stuff.
I think a lot of medicine. I think he had those issues.
That's what I'm saying.
I think I'm going number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he did. He was backed up for a couple weeks, I think.
That's not funny. That's brutal. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. I'm just saying. Because
Arjuna and hemorrhoids.
I just walked past him going to his bathroom with the paper in his hand. That's all. I didn't realize it was going to turn into this full-on discussion.
Well, there was a great realization that happened a while back. You know, when I worked for CBS Sports Radio, I always had to go and meet with Eric Spitz, the program director there.
Why?
Because he wanted us to meet after the shows.
Why?
So, well, because he wants to talk to us about the shows.
What?
About the shows. That's
what he
wanted
to
do.
I thought you did good shows.
We did, but it was under his tutelage, of course. So,
did he tell you what to talk about?
No. Okay. No. So most of the time it was just BS. But anyway, so Chernoff would always walk in with the newspapers and hand them to Eric when he was done with them. So Brian Jones, my old co-host, goes, "You give him those papers every day?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do." He's like, "I see you walk in the bathroom with those papers every single morning." And then Spitz was like, "What?" He got so angry because Chernoff would take the newspapers into the bathroom with him, read the newspapers, then come out of it and then hand it to Eric. You can't do that? Secondhand bathroom newspapers?
Every day.
You can't every day. You had
it's
no
crap.
Idea.
You know, that's why I want
leafing,
you know,
through it, having no idea where they were.
You know what I try to do here is CMB are now in our studio. They're no longer in the Mike Francesa studio.
Yeah.
So when they come in here, I just leave the papers here for them.
Yeah, I've done that as well. Yep.
Right. And I don't take the papers to the bathroom.
No.
I won't do that here.
Can't do that. No.
Not here.
No, if you do, when you walk out of the bathroom, you got to throw it out. It's a courtesy.
Oh, no. Joe always takes mine and then throws it back on the desk when he's done. Every day.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, what do you tell you?
What do you do with it? Do you pull out, like, tongs to grab it and throw it in the garbage?
I put it on the common table.
Oh, no. You're just as bad.
People need newspapers. Not my problem. What do you want me to do? We went from 9 copies to 2.
Yeah, no wonder why you're sick over there.
I'm not sick. I have allergies.
Allergic to poop?
Shut up. It's disgusting. God. All right, we're just move on. We're brought to you by the new Bobby V's Restaurant and Sports Bar in Winter Stamford. Visit BobbyV'sRestaurant.com for more information. I get you the info from Sunday, and of course, that was all about the Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton.
It swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone into the Yankees bullpen. Giancarlo.
And there was no singing this time, just that. John Sterling on the fan stand.
The essence of man.
Yankees 28-12, a 6-2 win over the A's. Here are some of the Aaron Boone clips that we were kind of referencing this morning about everything that the Yankees have dealt with and battled and struggled through as they're now 16 games over 500. He says, yeah, it's been tough.
Look, I'm pleased where we are considering I feel like all we've been through as a club.
He says they've battled issue after issue.
It's a long, long way to go. I feel like we've had our share of adversity. I feel like we've handled it really well.
It's been brutal.
All we've been through. Man.
28 wins, boy, I'll tell you what.
It's been a rough, rough road for us and all the stuff, all the down times. I remember looking back at 9-9 and thinking, when's it going to end? You know?
I think the manager of the Reds feels when he hears that.
We stayed in one 4-star hotel. We had that one 4-star hotel experience, which was very, very tough. And we had to take a train down to D.C. Disgusting. But we battled through. Battled through.
Here was Brett Gardner. They had a long wait because of the weather.
You got to stay ready. I thought we did a good job of that. I thought Seve threw the ball pretty well today. And obviously, I thought Big G had a great day at the plate. Came up with some big hits.
Big G.
And it's a good day for us.
Big G, Giancarlo, of course, and Seve is Luis Severino. Boone was asked, how exactly do they stay ready, though?
The way it not affect is who you are. I mean, you're a professional.
Translation, I have no idea.
Is he drinking after the game, or what?
Here was Boone Stanton carrying the team.
Look, he was the difference today.
He says look a lot.
Look.
I didn't notice that. Aaron Judge, 2 hits, including an RBI single, scored a couple of runs as well. Yankees in Washington tomorrow night. They'll put their nose in the Nats tomorrow. Mets, well, that's what he said. Remember last hour. Phillies, Mets yesterday. Big spot.
He's going batty on us. That's what's really happening. Is. He's talking too much.
It is amazing. I like when they play a Sunday night game, and then they got to be back on Monday, so they speak Sunday night. Or how about this? Day game after a night game. Talk at 10:30 p.m., talk again at 11 a.m. What the hell changed?
Nothing.
In the 10 hours.
I mean, the questions are so stupid, too. Like the one yesterday, the, wow, when Giancarlo does this, ever make you think about how special his lineup can be?
I think we all thought how special that lineup was going to be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, how about when they traded for him?
Pretty much, yes.
He's only the essence of man.
He's only the MVP. Yesterday, Nick Williams pinch hit for the Phillies in a big spot and came through with flying colors off of Paul Sewald.
2-1 pitch, hit high in the air to deep right field. Forget it. This ball is launched off the signage of the second deck. The second pinch hit home run of the year for Nick Williams, a 3-run homer. And the Phillies take a 3-1 lead.
I like every time they showed Gabe Kapler. I feel like he's fake.
Like he's a mannequin.
He looks like a wax figure.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's
I know.
So shiny and tan.
It's
and
so
true.
I know. He really is.
And it's kind of. And I do apologize for saying this, but when we watched the Mets last week against the Reds, there were a couple of shots of Jim Riggleman. Not all, and there was one in particular with his knee up on the dugout. He looked like a corpse. Like it looked like he had a lot of weird makeup on. And then you turn to Gabe Kapler, who looks alive and vibrant, but almost like a wax figure at times because he looks too perfect as a guy.
Too perfect as a
man. He does.
Jerry's got a crush.
No, I didn't say that, but he looks chiseled. He's in shape.
No, you're right. I know. He does. He is.
I get it, but I think you're taking it a little bit too deep for me, though.
But he is, though.
He's a Phillies manager.
That's really the term you want to go with?
He's a fizzy. He's the Phillies manager.
I was doing men right there.
Do you see him? And it's like, one of his first interviews, I saw he had a skin-tight shirt on. It might
Yeah.
I think it might have even been his opening press conference.
Because he got very excited about it.
I like man meat.
He was, what do you call it? Fawning? Is that what we say over him?
Seems like you are fawning.
The man rub down?
I am not. But
yes, you are.
Listen, it's
impressive.
If you're impressive, you're impressive.
He's I'm kind of with Jerry.
But you have said this like 5 or 6 times
over
the last few weeks.
Hold on a second. You guys are already, I can't do it, but let's just say Giancarlo Stanton had that effect on you guys as
Yeah, he did.
When he did the interview.
He didn't have that effect on me.
Oh, you drooled over him. Relax.
You saw him in the paper. You held up the picture. I mean, you were into it.
Let's have sex and have a baby.
What I want to see is I want to see Giancarlo Stanton laying on a rock in Central Park is what I want
you
to
might
see.
Happy ending.
You might get that. You never know. And Stanton and Kapler together. That would be something.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Something like in Southern
Speaking
California.
Of happy endings. Yeah. You want to show him the video of our happy Long Islanders that seem to be getting along so well together?
What does that mean? Who are the happy Long Islanders?
Can I even tell this story?
I don't know how you tell the story. I really don't, but.
All right.
Try.
A friend of mine is privy to, evidence at times, right? He's in he's in that field.
All right.
And there was an arrest that was made at a train station on Long Island of two people.
Oh, you're talking about bumping tacos.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry, I am. So they were bumping tacos. And someone filmed it. And
it's unbelievable. These two people, I'm like, man, this is like Long Island, man. This is, holy crap.
Is this what you showed me the other day, the video?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you saw it. All right, you did see it, yeah. So I'm thinking, like, I get this video.
What does the guy have in his shirt?
It says party animal. He's missing a hand. So then this is going on, and someone's just sitting there filming it. There's a guy standing right next to him,
right,
as they're getting it on, you know. And then
broad daylight. I think it's in a bus stop across from the Port Jefferson train station. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
And
Welcome to Long Island. Could you imagine what the police are dealing with out
there? No, I know I can't.
Every single day, this crap is going on.
And then some guy rides up on a bike. I think might have been the boyfriend of the female in
really?
This. Well, yeah, that was the assumption that was made.
No, it's bad enough to find out that someone could be cheating on you. How do you tell that story?
And then she hugs him.
Yeah.
And on the bike, realizes as he's hugging her.
No. This is
Let's just move on.
This is where you got to stop. That's where you got to
the hump and get out.
That's exactly what happened. Pretty much.
And by the way, the guy who's had his cigarette hanging out of his mouth the entire time.
Hey, how you doing? I got nothing going on. How you doing? Let's bump some tacos.
Broad daylight. Okay.
How you doing?
I'm thinking, like, I get this in the group text. I'm like, should I show this to Boomer? Is he going to think I'm like, you know, what are my friends doing? And then you ate it right up. Boy.
What was the audio like of the guy videoing it?
Oh, he does like a play-by-play. I mean, it's fun. It's very funny. It is really,
it's
really fun.
It's actually very sad is what it is.
It's, yeah, it just, sure seems like it.
It's not sad to me. I laugh my ass off.
Clearly. How do you like me now?
I mean, Liz, I can't feel for these people.
You realize, man, oh, my God, what the hell?
Well, I don't know these
there?
People. You know, just thinking, never mind.
No, all don't. Right, don't ahead. Even bother. We've got the Mets home for the Blue Jays tomorrow night. Jacob DeGrom yesterday, one scoreless inning, 45 pitches, and that's all he did. Brandon Nimmo, two hits, couple of walks. Kid continues to get on base. UNS Cespedes did homer in the loss. Mets now 19-18. The Phillies 23-16. Also, the Nationals won, and the Braves won, too. So everybody going in the opposite direction, aside from the Mets. The Marlins also now 12 games under 500. The Angels beat the Twins 2-1. Shohei Ohtani, 6 1/3 innings, 11 strikeouts. And the Orioles beat the Rays 17-1. And Robbie Cano was hit by a pitch yesterday, suffered a fractured hand. The Tigers beat the Mariners 5-4. White Sox over the Cubs 5-3. NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics Cavaliers from Boston, and the Celtics made short work of the Cavs.
Rozier, bounce pass for Horford in the corner. Jaylen Brown, three in the air.
No.
Got it.
Oh, Cal Korver. Woo. Slap me, somebody, and wake me up or pinch me.
And the Celtics, who barely survived the Bucks, who were tooth and nail against the Sixers, have a 28-point lead in Game 1 of the Conference Finals.
That's Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. How about 108-83 as a final score at halftime? It was 61-35. Cavs got it to like 13, 14, or 15 at one point, but that was it. Boston really just dominated the game. Jaylen Brown had 23, Marcus Morris 21-10. Here was Morris, who says LeBron was out there, of course, doing what he does.
He tried to get everybody, you know, that's what he do every game. He tries to get everybody, you know, involved in the game. I didn't really see too much of a change.
Yeah, he actually had 7 turnovers, did LeBron James, who in the loss had only 15 points and 5 of 16 shooting. One of his rare off games in this postseason. Kevin Love was off too, 5 of 14. Here was LeBron moving on.
We have another opportunity to be better as a ball club coming in Tuesday night. And we'll see what happens.
And that'll be for a Game 2 tomorrow night. Game 1, Western Finals tonight, Rockets and the Warriors. And in the NHL, it was the Eastern Finals, Capitals and Lightning. And Washington, who struck number in Game number 1, they got Game number 2.
I don't watch none.
Here is Oshie, leaving Strollman in his way. Capitals pick it up with a fallen Lightning. In front, they score! A pass on the right side, and Lars Eller going top left corner. Count one for the Tiger with 1:02 to go. Second period, it's 3-2 Washington.
And it never got any better for Tampa. They wound up losing 6-2 to the Caps, and now have a 2-0 lead. John Walton, Capitals Radio, with the call tonight. Winnipeg home for Vegas. Jets taking Game 1 in that series. And golf, Webb Simpson won the Players' Championship. And I saw before I came in, Fox did announce that Buck and Aikman will do Thursday Night Football.
That means they got paid some more dough.
A lot more.
Oh, yeah. Me, yes.
How much more you think?
I would say about $3 million more.
Each?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yes, they wanted to pay Peyton Manning $10 million. So give each
$3 million to do one more game a week?
Yeah,
it's fascinating. Oh. That's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, it's great.
Great work if you can get it. Yes. Where were you on that? Go do some Let's Go Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I guess not. Okay, moment of the day brought to you by Resorts World Casino in Queens with over 6,000 games. This is how NYC rolls.
Moment of the day!
The big mystery today was what the hell was on Boomer's couch and who did it. Oh, and I would say that that was absolutely chocolate.
Yeah, so definitely from Chernoff.
Yeah, I mean, he likes candy. So,
It's definitely Chernoff and chocolate probably falling out of his pocket or
perhaps,
something.
Perhaps, yes. So,
yeah. Or you know how when he eats chocolate, like it licks his fingers. Like that.
Okay.
You know, he likes gummies too, like little gummy stuff. Like there was one time he was yelling at me and midway through he pulled a gummy worm out of his drawer and ate it. It was so hard for me not to laugh.
You know? It got you
like, what were you thinking? He's eating the gummy worm. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't take you seriously right now.
He's actually pulled a gummy worm out of his pocket when he was talking to me.
That's disgusting. A gummy worm filled with lint.
This one's only from last week. This is still good.
Okay. There you go. Moment of the day.
He came in and defended himself. He goes, I have never pulled a gummy worm out of my pocket. Out of the drawer, yelling at you? Yes, I did do that. Not out of my pocket.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.